Good morning. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope your day is off to a good start and that you had a very nice weekend. What a hot weekend here in Southern California. A little cooler today. We have news from Lake Piru in Ventura County, where Sheriff's Department officials say a body has been found at the lake. This during the search for Glee star Naya Rivera. A body discovered 5 days after Rivera disappeared on the lake. She was out on a boat with her son, and the boy was able to get back onto the boat. Rivera has been presumed drowned. And again, just the latest we understand from Ventura County Sheriff's officials that a body has been found. The body has not yet been identified, but has been found at Lake Piru. We begin Air Talk by looking at the devastation to the historic San Gabriel Mission, the structure ready to celebrate its 250th anniversary in the process of renovation. And then very early Saturday morning, a four-alarm fire broke out, apparently in or near the choir loft of the mission, burned through the entire roof of the structure and did extensive damage to the interior of the building. The museum, with its artifacts in a separate structure, which was not damaged, and services were able to be held at the church that is also on the grounds there of the mission. Nevertheless, it is a huge historic loss and devastating for people for whom that is their church home. But of course, the mission has a very controversial history, with Junipero Serra and statues of Serra being targeted, being removed. The one at San Gabriel Mission, in fact, moved to the interior walls of the complex there where it would be protected. With us to talk about the importance historically of the mission is Stephen Hackle, who's UC Riverside Professor of History and Chair of the Mission San Gabriel Conservancy's Museum Committee. Professor Hackle, good to have you with us again.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
First of all, so sorry about the destruction of a structure that you obviously have been very involved with, its preservation and its history. What is the significance of the mission to the founding of Los Angeles?
Well, the mission is extremely significant to the founding of Los Angeles, which occurred in September of 1781. The mission was essentially the jumping off point for the 45 or so original settlers who walked from the mission to what is now downtown LA in 1781. But for months before that, the governor of California, Felipe de Neve, was at the mission awaiting the arrival of the pobladores from Sonora and Baja California. And then after 1781, when the town was founded, the mission remained for 6 to 12 months the main provisioning spot for an increasing number of settlers who came to establish downtown LA. So it really can be described as sort of the mother of the Pueblo of Los Angeles.
What is its history of preservation? Because, you know, the original structure was significantly damaged. Was it in the Fort Tejon earthquake? So the structure that burned, when was it constructed?
Yeah, important question. The mission was originally established sort of in the Rio Hondo in the Whittier Narrows region several years before it was relocated to this current site in 1775. All missions in California were sort of destroyed and rebuilt numerous times, and this was no exception. The current church was constructed, the mission itself, beginning in about 1790, and it was probably completed by 1799, when it had an unusual stone vaulted roof, like the mission at Mission San Juan Capistrano did till that fell in 1812. The mission at San Gabriel, the vaulted roof was problematic immediately, and it was replaced by a stone flat roof around 1808, and that was damaged in the major quake of 1812 that destroyed missions from La Purisima all the way down to San Juan Capistrano. The current roof that burned over the weekend, the peaked wooden roof, was probably installed in the late 1870s. And I should point out that it was a roof that was in stark contrast to the original design The current mission building is unique to all of the California missions. It resembles a military garrison with its parapets and its sort of Muslim architecture. And this was because its designer, Cruzado, a missionary from Cordoba, sort of had a sentimental attachment to the architecture of his home region. So it was a very different kind of structure. The peaked roof stood until it was burned over the weekend. But the mission itself was severely damaged in 1812. And what is currently the facade of the mission, the east facade, was blocked for decades. And the south doors became the main opening area for the mission. And that's when the espadaña, the very recognizable iconic stairwell to the outside of the mission, and then, of course, the recognizable bells, those were established there and became important in the early 1800s after the quake of 1812.
Why the fortress-like design of the mission?
Well, it had to do, we think, with Cruzado's own attachment to his home region of Cordoba. He apparently grew up adjacent to what was one of the most recognizable buildings in that region of Spain. And this is what he associated with sort of Catholicism. This was a place that, in Cordoba, that was originally a garrison, but also had religious overtones. And it's something that Cruzado wanted to essentially bring to California. But it was unique in its architecture, certainly. There's no other mission like it.
I actually visited that cathedral in Cordoba last summer, and it's an extraordinary building, no question about it. We're joined by historian Stephen Hackle, UC Riverside Professor of History. If you have questions about the history of the San Gabriel Mission and about the damage that the mission suffered in the early Saturday morning fire, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. If you're a member of the mission community, you worship there, or it's at an important place in your family, I would also be interested in hearing your thoughts. And if you are a member of the Tongva Nation, I would also be interested in your thoughts about the history related to your ancestors of the San Gabriel Mission. 866-893-5722. Professor Hackle, I doubt you've been able to go inside because this fire is so recent, but what's your understanding of what was saved?
Well, I was down there just after the fire, the morning that the fire was burning and then extinguished. So I did have a quick peek in there. And what we can say for sure is that the roof certainly is destroyed. Almost miraculously, of course, due to the good work of the fire department, the area of the pulpit and the statues and the reredos, they don't seem to have been burnt. One assumes there's tremendous smoke and fire damage and water damage. Just before the fire, in the months before, the mission had begun to embark upon a major renovation plan that involved removing much of the art from the mission itself and storing it in the museum. And fortunately, because of that, all the paintings were out of the mission that burned. There was one very famous painting, the Dolorosa of Mary, that was still in the mission itself, but that was removed, I believe, during the fire, and that was saved. So the greatest loss certainly would be to the historic structure itself, the roof, and then a pulpit that stood from, we believe, the late 1790s that was unique also in California. We believe that has either been burnt or simply detached itself from the wall. And there also is a very old original copper baptismal font in a little baptistry off the main mission building. We don't know the state of that at this point.
And the original pews, do we know if those burned or survived?
Well, the pews were restored just before the fire, and it looks like they can be salvaged. I haven't looked carefully enough, but I think they were not all lost. But
okay.
Certainly the old timbers that came down would have done tremendous damage to those pews.
And the word that we have, KPCC and LAist reporter Josie Wong in her latest piece says that fire investigators are hoping to have significantly more information by the end of the week. They are looking at the choir loft area as the potential source for where the fire began. Professor Hackle, do you have any additional information about the investigation?
I do not, Larry. No, I know that the building is a crime, is considered a crime scene, and they're investigating it right now. But there seems to be, from what I know, no real sense of that it was an arson attack. We just don't know yet.
Stephen Hackel, UC Riverside historian, also with us, Stanford University Professor Emeritus of History, Richard White. His most recent book with his son, the photographer Jesse Amble White, is California Exposures, Envisioning Myth and History. He and his son were out at the Mission photographing it, and Professor White wrote an op-ed that was in yesterday's LA Times looking at the Mission's history. Professor, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Larry.
As with the entire Mission system, it is a complicated, it's a fraught history. And for you, are there specifics in Mission San Gabriel that are particularly notable in the Mission and its relationship with Tongva residents?
Yeah, I think what it shows up is the ambivalence of a lot of Native Californians to the Mission system, is that the Tongvas revolted against the Mission, but the Tongvas also helped build the Mission. The Tongvas maintained a loyalty to the Mission that went on into the Mexican period. And I think one of the things that we forget is that for all the abuses of the Mission, and they were great, I'm not denying any of that, is that the Mission still regarded the land as belonging to the Tongvas. When the Missions are disbanded, the Tongvas begin to lose their land. And the Mexican period and the American period, in many ways, are as abusive or more abusive than anything that happened during the Missions, and they deprived the Tongvas of the land that had been maintained for them under San Gabriel Mission.
And is it your sense that Tongva people who are descended from those who built the Mission to this day have conflicted feelings?
It's my sense. The Tongvas can speak for themselves. I do know that Tongvas visit the Mission quite consistently, remain engaged with the Mission past, and the Tongvas see it as one of the places which their own identity is rooted in, because it's at the center of Tongva homelands.
Also, Junipero Serra's significance, we have statues of him that have been pulled down, such as in Serra Park in downtown Los Angeles. Mission San Gabriel moved its statue of Serra into the courtyard. Your thoughts about the complicated history of Serra, who just 5 years ago was given the status of saint?
Yeah, I mean, my own attitude towards Serra, having gone to Catholic high school in Los Angeles, is that the Catholic Church around Serra is utterly tone deaf. The idea of canonizing Serra was a huge mistake. But at the same time, turning Serra's whole history into simply a genocidal murderer also is, in a sense, tone deaf. The history is a lot more complicated than that. Under Serra's best intentions, the Franciscans did terrible, terrible things. The results of the Missions were in many ways disastrous for the Tongvas and other peoples. But it's not as if Serra came in with the intent of decimating and killing and robbing Californian Indians. Is that history ends up being much more complicated than that. Is that good intentions can achieve awful things. And I think that, for me, is much more the lesson of the Missions than simply the kind of disparities between genocide and sainthood that we see right now.
So when you look at California missions, you feel like we can broadly encompass a number of conflicted feelings and themes that the missions bring out?
I think we can. I think Steve, in his work, has attempted to do that. I mean, it's shown in the way in which these missions are very conflicted native places, in which in some of the missions you have some peoples supporting the missions, you have other people opposing the missions, you have the missions attracting people who honestly convert to Catholicism and literally rounding up other people and forcing them into the mission. Both things are true at the same time. The missions, in some ways, as they evolve, become Indian-governed places in some sense. The longer you look at them, the longer you see how complicated it is. And that's why, for me, in some ways, they're a mirror of California. Just anything, any absolute statement you make, you can find something in it to contradict it.
Stanford Professor Emeritus of History Richard White with us. UC Riverside historian Professor Stephen Hackle with us, who chairs Mission San Gabriel Conservancy's Museum Committee. Professor Hackle, this obviously very difficult blow to take to something that has this degree of historic significance. We're only a couple days later, but is there anything positive that can come out of this discussion about the mission and what will undoubtedly be the effort to rebuild?
Well, there certainly can. I think it's a tragedy for sure, but it has cast, I think, new light upon the mission itself and the social relations and interactions that Richard was talking about. But it also, I think, will help us as we sort of re-envision the museum. I think it will sort of galvanize, we'll be focused, it will galvanize public support. And my hope is that the mission will be rebuilt in ways that were perhaps more consistent with its initial construction physically than we saw in the late 19th century renovations. But I mean, certainly it's a tragedy and it's disruptive, but it gives us a renewed purpose, I think.
All right. And again, our condolences to the community that worships, for whom this is their active church where they regularly worship. Stephen Hackle, Professor of History, University of California, Riverside. Richard White, Stanford University Professor Emeritus of History, talking about the devastating fire early Saturday morning at the San Gabriel Mission. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, the latest on COVID-19, UCLA professor Dr. Robert Kim Farley with us, one of our tremendous team of physician experts to talk about the novel coronavirus. We'll be back in just 1 minute.